to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K-Wise Whitehead, here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, I have to begin by just telling you thank you. Thank you, thank you for doing the work that you did last week to help the show meet the goal. Folks, it was a long week. It was a tiring week. It was a stressful week. But by the end, two things we knew for sure. One, we knew for sure that we were going to make our goal. That was something we were absolutely certain of, because there are people that called this show on Friday and said, ask Dr. K, how much money does she need? And whatever she needs, I'm going to put into the pot to make sure she meets her goal. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you individually, from the 10-year-old Shay Shay, who gave $10, all the way up to some of my mature listeners who gave as much as they should give, as much as they wanted to give, and as much as they could give. I want to thank Anthony, who gave $5. He is a man who is temporarily experiencing homelessness. All he had was $5, and he donated his $5 to Today with Dr. K. I want to thank Antoine Copeland, who came in to match that money, to actually take the $5 and make it much. We had DeBrandis Jones come in. He took that $5 and made it much. Folks, we saw you. We heard you. We felt your love and support for the show. That was the one thing we knew for sure. The second thing we knew for sure at the end of the week was that I was very sick. That was quite obvious from everyone around me that I had nothing left in me. So I was off yesterday and Monday. And so I want to thank you for listening to some of my favorite shows. Justina really says I needed one more day at home. She thinks I'm 50% better. I think I'm 70% better. But nevertheless, I am in here because there are a lot of conversations that I think we need to have. We have to get back to normal. We have to reset the button and get started on what is now the beginning of year three here of us doing Today with Dr. K. I count the years coming out of the pledge drives. That was year two pledge drive we finished last week. We are now in year three, and I'm excited to be starting year three with you. My goal for year three is multiple, two, you know, three and four and five fold. I want to continue to work with Justina and with you to offer good quality programming every day. Two, I want to make a commitment to tell the stories that matter. Three, as we move into this heavy political season, while we're thinking about who's running for the 7th Congressional District seat, Kwaisi Mfume just threw his hat into the ring. We have Jill P. Carter. She has an exploratory committee. They said that Dr. Maya Cummings is thinking about running. Stephanie Rollins Blake is thinking about running. So we've got to be able to talk about the 7th Congressional District race and have a clear eye and vision toward what it is that Congressman Cummings has done with that seat for 20 years and what do we want to see done with that seat. Who do we want to send to Washington, D.C. to support the 7th Congressional District? Additionally, there's another very important race that's coming up next year. The mayoral election is coming up next year. It's a time for reflection. It's a time for thinking. Who is running at this moment? We know Mayor Jack Young has thrown his hat into the ring. He has about $500,000 in his coffer and is raising money on a continual basis. We know City Council President Brandon Scott has thrown his hat into the ring. We know the last statement showed that he has about $140,000 in his coffer. Brandon Scott is releasing a statement every single day of what his intentions are. His whole schedule gets released daily on email. It's a neck-by-neck race. We also know there are a lot of different people. Catalina Byrd has thrown her hat in the ring, where she's running as a Republican. We have Thiru Vijayanaraja has thrown his hat into the ring. And we've also heard that people are waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, hello, Mary Washington, what are you going to do? Are you jumping into this ring? Hello, you know, Marilyn Mosby, are you jumping into this ring? Nick Mosby, what's up? Are you jumping in this ring, or are you jumping into the 7th Congressional District ring? We're trying to find out. I'm wondering that when the dust finally settles, who is going to be on the docket to run for both mayor and the 7th Congressional District seat? Now, we know whoever our next mayor is. We've had this conversation, folks, We know that there are a lot of people, myself included, who are discerning whether or not to run for mayor. I mean, there was a piece that came on Facebook that said, hey, why not Erica Bridgeford? Saying maybe Erica Bridgeford should throw her hat into the ring. We all know Erica from the Baltimore Ceasefire. She was interviewed this weekend by Sean Yost at the Baltimore Book Festival. And someone asked the question, hey, Erica, why don't you run for mayor? And she said, hey, I would need a lot of mentoring. But, I mean, it's something that's on the table. Hey, why not Erica Bridgeford? Why not, you know, Dr. K? Why not Faraji Muhammad? Why not Justina Pollard? Why not you? Here's an opportunity for anyone who has a love and a passion for this city to think about whether you are the person that we need. Folks, I'm arguing that what I don't want as mayor, and then this is going to shock you, right? Let me tell you what I don't want. Because I like to be very clear. I don't want a seasoned politician as mayor. Now, I know that that is shocking. And there are a lot of seasoned politicians running for mayor. You know why? Because maybe this is the year where we say we're throwing all that to the wind. Why don't we get a servant leader in that office? Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need someone like an Erica Bridgeford who's done the Baltimore ceasefire, showing and proving her love to the city. Maybe we need someone like you. Maybe you've been doing some work. Maybe you've been thinking. Maybe Adam Jackson, the Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, Davon Love from LBS. Hey, you've been working and showing your love for the city. Maybe you should think about running. I know that Adam Jackson said, anybody who's running for mayor right now, he was on this show when he said it. He said, if you don't have $1 million, you shouldn't even consider it. I'm thinking, folks, if we get a servant leader willing to run, maybe that's when we do the most. Maybe that the problem with servant leaders wanting to run, they get frightened by the $1 million coffer that they need. But I think, just like with a rent party, just like with today with Dr. K, I mean, we not only raised our goal last week, we tripled it. That's how much you gave last week. You gave and gave and gave to keep this show on the air. Imagine setting up a campaign saying, you know what, we want to put the people's candidate into office. Now, conversely, I want to say, I want a seasoned politician in that seat for the 7th Congressional District. I do. I'm thinking, for mayor, I want a servant leader. I want someone who loves this city more than themselves. I want someone who has shown us time and time again that when we are in pain, when we are hurting, when we don't have water, when we are struggling, when we are dealing with the everyday stress that comes along with living in Baltimore City, they're the first ones to show up and the last ones to leave. That's what we need in Baltimore City. Going down to D.C., being able to deal with what's happened down there, from the Nancy Pelosi's to the AOC's to the Donald Trump's to the Mitch McConnell's, we need a seasoned politician down there. Because you'll be stepping into Congressman Cummings' seat, and we don't need anyone who's going to be concerned about their image, who they are, the fact that they have no experience. We need them to hit the ground running. Like, this is the time when you hit the ground running. That's what we want down in D.C. for the 7th Congressional District. So, I mean, it's just, it's interesting because it's a good time to think about what you want and who you want to have representing you. Your vote actually matters. Now, I know there's some people who call this show who said, I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't matter. Dr. K, it doesn't matter. It's not one vote, one person. You know what? Actually, you can say that when it comes to the presidential elections, because we understand that we have both the popular vote and the Electoral College. And according to the Supreme Court, the Electoral College has the final say. We saw that with Bush v. Gore. We saw it with Clinton v. Trump. We get that. Except we don't deal with that when it comes to our local elections. Local elections are called direct elections, which is one vote, one candidate. So I put my vote for my candidate. There is no middle ground. There is not someone figuring this out. My vote goes to that person and it gets counted. So if I'm voting for mayor, when I see the bottom line, I'm expecting to see my vote. Now, I know this is before Fred calls me about what happened in the last election. I know that people are very concerned about the state of their vote after the election and the numbers we saw with Catherine Pugh and Sheila Dixon. Like, people were very concerned that the number of votes that Sheila Dixon had when all votes had been tallied, and yet Catherine Pugh became mayor. Now, Catherine Pugh is gone. I'm not going to speak ill of people who are gone, right? Healthy Holly notwithstanding. We've got to find a way to continue to show that our vote is the equivalent to our voice. And if we want to speak loud, and speak strong and stand proud in what we believe, then you got to get out and vote. This is not the year to stay home. This is the year when you got to get out and vote. So those are two things that we know to be sure, things that we need to work on for this show and our commitment for this show going forward. We expect you and we want you and we encourage you to hold us accountable. Are there issues we should be talking about that we're missing? Hey, you know what? Call us and tell us. Are there stories that are percolating that have missed our radar? Then you got to call and tell us. You called and told us about Poe Holmes. I didn't know. I don't live in that community. I had no idea. Someone reached out to me about Poe Holmes, and we covered it. You reached out to me about what happened over at Carver when they saw that body. Mainstream media didn't cover it. You contacted us, and we went from there. So if there are stories, folks, reach out, 410-319-8888. Send us an email, today with Dr. K, that's D-R-K-A-Y-E, todaywithdrk@gmail.com. Send me your stories because I want to cover them. So now that that's out the way, and I have said my thank yous, and I appreciate folks coming on Facebook Live. You prayed for me yesterday. You sent me well wishes on Monday. Thank you. I am back. I sound nasally. I know I'm getting over whatever this bug is I have had. But I wanted to get back on the air so we can start moving forward with year three. I was anxious to get year three started. And year three starts with our weekly wrap. Let me tell you the stories that are on the table. And I want you to give me a call and let's talk about them. Here are some potential stories. If this is your first time joining in, first of all, welcome to the family. We are excited to have you join our kitchen table. Now, on Wednesdays, and we do this every single Wednesday, except when something big happens and we have to put it off, like with Congressman Cummings, we had to stop at that moment. But barring that, every Wednesday, we have what we call our weekly wrap. We consider it to be like a kitchen table. In other words, anyone can pull up a chair, join our kitchen table, and put any topic you want on the table. Now, on most days, I put the topic out there. Justina and I, along with Keon, our intern, and Dre, who works our boards, we talk about the topics, and we come up with one or two topics for discussion. A couple things that we think we have to drill down deep. That was a topic we talked about with Black women dying at the rates in which we're dying now. We felt that that was a topic for a conversation that we had to have. On Wednesday, you dictate the conversation. We don't do a script. We just sit around and we talk about some of the stories we've been reading or thinking about or musing about or reflecting on. And then we say, you know, we're going to open the phones up early, 410-319-8888. What have you been thinking about? Think of it this way, folks. Thanksgiving is coming. I'm sorry to tell you that. Thanksgiving is coming. One of the things about Thanksgiving is you have everybody around the table and you have all these conversations going. Grandma's talking to her niece and grandpa's talking to his cousin. And so you're jumping from conversation to conversation. It's family. You agree, you disagree, but you keep moving because it's family. That's the weekly wrap. It's family. You come, you give your opinion. I may not agree. You may not agree with mine, but the conversation is going to keep shifting. It's going to feel fast, but once you've done it a couple of times, you can get with the pace. Here are some of the potential topics for today. So, number one, what is up with the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Folks, I mean, I'm just, it's almost like some Black folks have lost their mind. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I've been following this Popeye's thing. I'm a pescatarian. I don't even eat chicken. I've been following this Popeye's thing. They bought the chicken out on a Sunday, right? And Chick-fil-A is closed on a Sunday. So Popeye's had the market on Sunday. It has been 3 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Today is day four. And in 3 days, you have had fights that have gone viral at Popeyes, where you have workers fighting each other. You have customers jumping behind the counter fighting the workers. You have people walking up to the counters screaming and cursing and demanding their chicken sandwiches. You have people out in the drive-thru line crashing their cars into one another and into poles because people are trying to cut in line. You had, out in the county, wasn't in Baltimore City, someone who got killed for cutting in line at Popeyes. Now, there's some stories, and Keon was kind of expressing to us, our intern said, well, maybe it wasn't about the chicken sandwich. That's what Keon said. Keon said the family said there was a dispute that had just carried over to Popeyes. Well, that's what the family is saying. According to the cops, whoever this person was, and they have identified this gentleman, he made his way. He kept cutting through line. 15 minutes he's cutting, trying to get to the front. When he left, in the span of 15 seconds, from the time he left Popeyes till he got out to the parking lot, a person that he cut in front of had approached him and stabbed him, and he died. It is almost as if my people, your people, have lost their mind when it comes to this Popeyes chicken sandwich. I don't understand what is happening. The New York Times did a whole piece, and the New York Times, they were talking about the fact that, black folks have a thing with the chickens. The New York Times wrote about how it feels like black folks really feel that this chicken sandwich thing belongs to us. The chicken sandwich is our sandwich. And let me tell you what that means. I'm going to put a little facts in here to back up what that means before you get mad at me about me and black folks and chicken, because we know there's some stereotypes around black people and chicken. Except, if I may, if I have you come with me, except it seems like the stereotypes around black folks and chicken are playing out in real life right now. So this is where it gets a little bit funky, right? This is where it gets a little bit nasty. This is where you get a little bit concerned, except black folks, we make up 14% of the population. You and I know this. We understand that we have about 40 to 42 million black folks in this country. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. We also understand that even though we're the smallest demographic in this country, right? Because whites of Hispanic origin, that's the group that's growing. So a white person of Hispanic origin, and I say that very specifically, because on the census, they do not classify Hispanic as a racial category. The category is white of Hispanic origin or white of non-Hispanic origin. Like, that's how they get us, right, with the numbers. And we're trying to figure out, why is this population growing? Look at the way they're doing racial classification on the census. So whites of Hispanic origin, that's the fastest growing group. That's when we talk about black and brown people. We say brown people. On the census, they call them white of Hispanic origin. But that group, by 2040, will be in the dominant. So that group is growing. Right now, whites of non-Hispanic origins, white folks, they're the dominant majority now, except their group is quickly shrinking. By 2040, whites of non-Hispanic origin, white folks, will no longer have the dominant numbers, but their racial classification and their numbers are still larger than ours. We're at 14%. The census is predicting, if you believe the census is predicting that black folks, that our numbers will remain flat, which means that by 2040, we will still be 14% of the population. Why is that? Because more black families are choosing to have fewer children. If you want to increase in population, you need more babies. More black families are choosing to only have three children or less. Three or two or one child only or no children. When that happens, it's saying for black folks, our numbers, similar to white folks and their numbers, will remain flat. Even though we make up 14% of the population, we consume and purchase the largest amount of chicken in this country. It's according to the New York Times. You got to read this New York Times piece. The New York Times piece, which is entitled Popeye's Sandwich Strikes a Chord for African Americans. And it's saying that black folks are buying up chicken at almost ungodly rates, folks. Let's be very clear. And so we grew up eating black soul food, which consists of fried chicken, mac and cheese, greens, collards. I mean, come on, folks. Cornbread. I can't be the only one from the South. Yams with the marshmallows on top. I'm talking about what we're going to have for Thanksgiving dinner. But a staple of that is chicken. And this aggressive marketing that Popeyes has done to the African-American community has actually resulted in some of the things that we're saying. That's one story. A second story is from Ibram Kendi from The Atlantic. And he's saying racism is killing our black men. That the average age for black men right now is 72. That's the lowest lifespan of any other racial or ethnic group except Native American men. And that's around 69 to 70 years. But black men have the lowest lifespan compared to their white, their Asian, and their Hispanic peers. That racism is actually killing black men because they don't get the health care. They don't see doctors the same rate. Lifestyle choices, they're being blamed for their lifestyle choices. Racism is killing our black men. Here are a couple other stories. LeBron James is providing houses for people who are experiencing homelessness. I think that's wonderful. My question is, what is the government doing? If LeBron James has to provide housing, what is the government doing? Hey, folks, Harriet Tubman, the movie is out. Folks are mad, but you know what? Go see it anyway. And then finally, a story that might get you going. Rapper T.I., or I don't know if he's a rapper or entertainer T.I., takes his daughter to the gynecologist to check to make sure her hymen is intact. Folks, she's 18 years old. A little bit invasive, don't you think? This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Give me a call. Let's talk about that or whatever it is you've been thinking about. 410-319-8888. Give me a call, 410-319-8888, and put something on the table, folks. Popeyes, that's one. I mean, it's like black folks, and I know that y'all gonna get mad at me. So let me just say up front that on this particular show, Justina, I'm just trying to talk to my people. I mean, let me just say, because in the videos I've seen, and I will argue I haven't seen all of them, though I've seen a ton of them, fighting on the video for Popeye's chicken, crashing your car, jumping through the window, beating each other up. I mean, the one where the worker grabbed the broom, the guy cursed and screaming over chicken sandwiches. Now, I got to get Justina in here because Justina went on a little field trip. She went to go get her chicken sandwiches. She got on her. She was doing a video. She said it took her 30 minutes. 30 minutes to get three Popeye's sandwiches, and she still gave them a C-. She said Chick-fil-A is still number one. I'm just going to put that down on the table here. What's up with black folks and chicken? 410-319-8888. I have Marie on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Marie, how are you? Welcome to the family.
Fine, fine. I saw the film Harriet yesterday,
yes,
early afternoon. I was flabbergasted.
Really?
I thought it was a marvelous film.
Oh, good.
And in the middle of the picture scene, because it's 2 hours, people were clapping. There was just a few people in there, mostly white. And what was it? Then the clapping again at the end of the movie, after it was finished, and I had the feeling the people were pleased with the film, but there was just a tiny few of people in the show. So I sort of teared. It sort of made me cry.
And
I'm looking forward to receiving awards in 2020.
I'm glad you said that, because there is this pushback now against the Harriet film. I mean, we know that the Harriet Tubman film, first of all, was directed by a black woman, Casey Lemons. She also co-wrote the script, which was co-written with a black man. So you have black folks at least involved in that. But people who are pushing back against the Harriet film, there is a growing sense that people don't want to put their money. What's interesting, Marie, is that we're fighting to get our stories told.
Yes.
And we understand they're being told through the white gaze, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be some things in the film, like, for example, Big or Long, the black guy who is one of the slave catchers, and it was a small percentage of black men who were slave catchers. So the fact that the film chose to kind of center the black man and then call him Big or Long of all names. But the idea that there's something empowering about watching Harriet Tubman and the ways in which Casey Lemons really made sure she had agency.
Yes, and I think watching the film, it just reminded me of today. I'll give you an example. The racial breakout in South Carolina.
Yes.
It sort of reminded me of that. And so I would say things are not looking good for us in the future. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Thank you so much, Marie.
Sure. Folks, bye.
I want to point out a couple of things. Janelle Hobson, who is a professor up in New York, and Janelle wrote a piece called Who's Afraid of Harriet Tubman? It's in Ms. Magazine. It came out online. She's a professor of women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of Albany. She's the author of Body as Evidence, Mediating Race, Globalizing Gender. But she writes a piece saying, like, just like Harriet has consistently been underestimated, she won the vote to have her face placed on the $20 bill. She overperformed at the box office, even though people didn't want to see it because, and I'm quoting what black folks are saying, I don't want to see another slave movie, unquote. Harriet Tubman is not another slave movie, folks. If you talk about black feminist sensibility, like, you've got to see this movie and look at the ways in which Casey Lemons, behind that director's gaze, really focus the story sharply on the narrative of Harriet Tubman having agency and asserting her agency in the movie. Now, there's some things I don't like. I'm going to be clear about that. But I can't think of one Hollywood movie where there's something that I don't like. This one has fewer things that I don't like. We have Raquel on the phone from Owens Mills. Raquel, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you feeling?
I'm doing a little bit better. Thank you for asking.
Okay, good. Dr. K, you was talking about someone telling Elijah come and see.
Yes.
I think it's going to be Mr. Fume, I hope and pray. Mm. And what I have done, I have went to the library to get applications. So if there's anyone in the city or the county that need a voter's application, I do have them.
Nice.
I'm going to go door to door. Well, I have started in the county out here in Randallstown where I'm at. And I'm going door to door, and I will put a stamp on it and mail it for them.
Oh, I like that.
When we get closer to February the 5th, the day of the voting, I will pay for Lyft if anyone needs a Lyft to and from
the voting
booth.
There you go. Let's go. You know what, Raquel? I'm going to have you hold, because I know you called. Why don't we find a way here to partner with you, because we want to get voter applications into people's... Where I would like to target, I'd like to know, I know this is a big one, I would like to target high schools, Justina, going over to all those young people who are getting ready to turn 18 and getting that voter application in their hands.
They have to be 18 in order to vote, so we need to...
Yeah, but they're turning 18 between now and February.
Right.
Yeah.
But right here on the application is a deadline on here.
And what's the deadline?
So, well, wait. So if you want, you can pick another call and me and Justina.
Okay, hold on one second, Raquel. Can you get that from just from her, Justina? All right, we have Thomas on the phone from Baltimore. Thomas, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K, my choice for mayor.
Hey, how are you?
Listen, let me explain something to you right now.
Yes.
We've got to be very careful with this stuff. I know what Popeye is doing right now.
Ooh.
Is actually a brilliant market and advertising strategy.
Yes, it is.
But Dr. K, you mentioned something about the black family earlier.
Yes.
Dr. K, my opinion on why the black family is being destroyed right now, Dr. K, whether you want to believe it or not, and this is a fact, you got a lot of black women that rather go and adopt white babies than adopt black babies.
Mm.
That's what's destroying the black family.
Now, you understand that one of the things that when we start talking about adoption, it's African-American children that are less likely to be adopted.
Yes.
White children are more likely to be adopted. And so there are white families who are choosing to adopt African-American children so they don't grow up in the system.
But then you got a lot of black families go and adopt a white baby versus trying to give a black child a hands up.
And that is, unfortunately, now just to kind of lay out with the figures, unfortunately that's very difficult because white babies, we're talking about newborn babies, are the babies that are most in demand. And so there are typical waiting lists for white babies that don't exist for black babies, or also black children. I mean, black children, the older they get in the system, the less likely they are to be adopted. So I do have some concerns about families adopting overall, because the challenge is, do we let African-American children stay in the system or get with a good home? And I often challenge black families, and I challenge myself too, Thomas. If we have this many children in the system, what are we willing to do about it?
This is a black woman that goes to my church. Mm-hmm. I've asked her, why did she choose to adopt a white baby versus a black baby?
Mm-hmm.
And what she told me was so shocking to me.
What did she say?
I didn't know black women think this way. She said she'd rather have a white baby so society would give that white baby more of a chance
than
giving a black child.
You know, that's really sad because there's so many black children in the foster care system. Like that, what you just said, really breaks my heart. Because
and when that child grows up.
Yeah. No.
If that child chooses not to have anything to do with her, then what she's going to do then?
Yeah, but she could have. Well, you know, I don't want to speak into what her choices are. I do believe it's a difficult choice. And I do call on more black families, again, myself included, to consider helping a foster child or even looking to adopt, because there's so many black children that are in the system that could use a good and loving and supporting home. All right, thank you so much, Thomas. I have Leo Burrows on the phone. Leo from Baltimore. How are you, sir?
Dr. K.Y.'s Whitehead, how are you feeling?
I'm doing okay.
God bless you. Welcome home. Be careful, everybody, of the pneumonia strains that are resistant to any type of antibiotic. That's out now. I've got several things. I'm going to run through them very quickly. One of which is, of course, you mentioned Popeye's chicken.
Oh, come on, Leo. What is up with that?
And relates to African people. But I will say this. If African people are seduced and brainwashed by marketing campaigns with regard to Popeye's chicken, there are just as many white folks who are being seduced by iPhone campaigns and who are standing in line for the newest cell phones. We got to be careful about artificial intelligence and the way in which technology is used to program us in ways that are not in our best interest. So let's be mindful that technology, out of control, running amok, can lead us to a point of slavery, and we don't know how we got there. My other concern is President Donald the Actor Trump attending the White Power Mississippi rally.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes.
Mobilizing white folks for violence and civil war. That's what he's about. And let us, no one skip that. No one should have blinders on when it comes to Donald the Actor Trump. I know all politics is local, But you got to be mindful of the fact that this man wants to become a king,
yes,
and he believes that his destiny is that of dictatorship. Baltimore City at this point has a status quo situation in terms of violence, police corruption, a lack of apprenticeship and job training programs, a youth works program that should be year-round but is not, should embrace the squeegees and is not. I'm not pessimistic at all, but I'm saying we've got to redouble our efforts to help our youth and ensure their well-being. I'm currently acting as the campaign manager for Reverend Michael Jensen. He's an ordained minister. He's running for mayor of Baltimore City.
Yes.
Unsung hero in many ways, 40 years businessman and community activist and volunteer. Keep him in prayer. Harriet Tubman, no, they don't want her face on the $20 bill. And there are black people realistically who want to be white people. And I don't know, if you go to bed at night and you wake up blonde-haired and blue-eyed, I don't know. Maybe so. But some of us don't want to embrace what God has blessed us to be.
And we need to embrace. I'm going to stop you there, Leo. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, folks. We got a couple topics on the table. Remember, it's the weekly wrap. You can call and put whatever topic you want on the table. Black folks, we make up 14% of the population. We purchase 30% of fast food fried chicken and 15% of all breaded chicken sandwiches in this country. Now, this is just what the facts and figures show. How did that then lead to folks fighting or dying at Popeyes? Racism is killing our black men. T.I. took his daughter. He takes her every year to the gynecologist to check to make sure her hymen is intact because he wants to ensure that his daughter, she's 18, folks, is still a virgin. I mean, how sick is that? Harriet Tubman, the movie's out, and folks are saying they don't want to see it. I'm saying go see it anyway. 410-319-8888. Donald Trump's a racist and a white supremacist. What else is new? He's now going to rallies, getting people stirred up. We have Anita on the phone from Laurel. Anita, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
About the chicken thing, I just want to say that it's really not about chicken. It's about black rage and gasoline in a match meeting.
Ooh.
And when did we lose the skill of frying chicken at home?
Yeah, what is that about? How do we pass this over to Popeyes anyway?
When you go to a fast food restaurant, you got to think about all the chemicals and all those things that are in it. So even though you might just think you're just eating chicken, I'm just wondering what's coming along with it.
And what is making you feel so addicted to it? Come on. There's something in the chicken that people are willing to fight over. That's
Absolutely.
What I'm trying to figure.
Absolutely.
It can't be. I mean, I've never had the sandwich.
I've never had that one.
But something is getting people where they're so upset that they are people get mad at this. You know what? And I'm just going to go and say, they are like addicts at this Popeyes. They are.
Yeah,
lining up, you're getting agitated. You get angry, you start cursing, you're banging your fist on it. Like, that to me is behavior that's indicative of someone who is addicted to something.
Yes, ma'am.
What is in the Popeye's chicken?
To the movie Harriet.
Yes.
I saw the movie. I saw the film. I was moved to tears. I'm not a crier.
Mm.
However, it's not perfect, but what is?
Come on.
That's produced by man.
Come on. Come on.
I mean, really.
Go see Harriet.
I read the comments that this person wrote about how it was she was beholden to the white people.
No.
And I'm like, what in the world? What did they see that I didn't see?
And what world do they live in where you don't have white dollars involved in black films? Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on. But I felt like Casey Lemons fought through all of that to make a movie that was worthy of having our attention and getting our dollars behind it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And for all of those who are voters or not, it's like after seeing that film, if you could still sit on your hands or, as she said in the film, look yourself in the eye and not vote, God bless you.
I'm with you. Thank you so much, Anita. I appreciate you. We have Ife on the line from West Baltimore. Ife, how are you?
I'm well today. I'm calling about Harriet.
Yes.
I was totally moved by Harriet. I like heroes, especially black women. And I was on the phone with a friend, and we got into a deep conversation about Baltimore being part of the Underground Railroad and such, and quilts that were hung on the fence and gave directions as to how to go north. And she was like, I never put all that together. I said, but we are incredible people. We always have been. When your freedom is at stake, just think how creative you can get.
Ooh, I completely agree with you.
And this one is might sound a little silly, but she's like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she is. she is. But you know what I like about it, though, Ife, is that some people like to kind of do Harriet like she's this mythological creature and that she couldn't really exist. The fact that she actually existed.
Yeah.
And the fact that she actually did these things, to me, that just makes her so much more real.
So much more. And yes. I think the one thing I like, two things I like about her character, she had a purpose. She was determined. And to take people through this, you know, we're going to go this way and we're going to get there. And then for someone to say, I can't go any further. And she pulls out a gun, and she said, well, this is
please.
It. You know,
go forth or die.
Go forth or die.
I like that.
She knew it was that important because they would have got anyone left behind would have gave information.
Absolutely. So I'm with that.
Look at the past of things that they did just with fiber, what was it? Over at they have a fiber museum. In D.C., and it's connected with the Smithsonian. And they had furniture, quilts that were made by a black man, things, the garments that they knitted, things that they sewed, a wedding dress. And this has been a while back. And there's an author, you know, I always give a book. There's an author, she taught at University of Maryland, Gladys Marie Fry.
Okay.
And she has a book on quilts of the antebellum
South. Oh, I love that.
And these are things that were made by black people, right, in slavery. Unbelievable. It took me years to get that book. But if you look closer, the connection to the creativity and the strength of these people that were in slavery, it's mind-blowing. And today we're going to fight over a chicken sandwich.
No, we don't have time to do that. Thank you so much, Ife. Folks, I want to go to the Harriet trailer. Let's play that. And when I come back from the Harriet trailer, I have Michael J., I have Daphne Austin from Moms, and I have Troy on the line, and I'm waiting for your call. Let's take a look at that.
There's not much time. You got to be miles away from here for dawn.
Where is she?
Follow that North Star. If there are no stars, just follow the river. Listen for them. Fear is your enemy.
Whoa. Easy now.
I'm gonna be free or die.
I don't know if you know how extraordinary this is, but you have made it 100 miles to freedom all by yourself. Would you like to pick a new name to mark your freedom?
Harriet Tubman. You are welcome here anytime. If I'm free, my family should be too. I made up my mind, I'm going back. You're confident.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. That's just a little clip from Harriet. I know there's some scenes that you have a problem with. I know you're going to have some things you're not going to like. Go see it anyway. How about that? How about go see it anyway, and we'll talk about it on the other side. Any group of people, I'm talking about my people, who will dress up in cosplay, taking spears and drums, wearing black turtlenecks and face paint, going into a fictional movie about a fictional world called Wakanda that has all these fictional weapons that set back during the time when Wakanda was getting all their money, getting all their goods. They watched other African people get kidnapped, enslaved, tortured, and they never used any of those tools to help enslave captured Africans for that entire time. You went and you sported that time and time again. Come on, folks. We love Black Panther. We want to live in Wakanda. You know what? My problem with Wakanda is they didn't help the other Africans on the continent. While they were sitting back chilling, building their world, folks were being kidnapped, raped, tortured, abused, and held without giving consent for hundreds of years. So if we can support that, a fictional movie about a fictional world of made-up Black folks who can do everything under the sun, why not go out and support a movie about a Black woman who actually existed? A Black woman who put her life on the line time and time again, saying, if I'm free, my family should also be free. You know what? That's a call to action, folks. It's a call to action. It's the weekly wrap. Give me a call. Put some things on the table. Here's something that should make you think. Got the Popeye's chicken fight. Well, here in Maryland, I want to just kind of put this out. I'm looking at Luke Broadwater's Twitter line. In Maryland, the rates of incarceration for young Black males is the highest of anywhere in the country. Let me just say that again, right? While we're fighting over chicken sandwiches and stabbing folks over chicken sandwiches and arguing about the Harriet movie and talking about whether or not this person deserves to be in charge, here in Maryland, in the place where you stand and I stand, in the place where you live and I live, here in Maryland, the rates of incarceration for young Black males is the highest of anywhere in the country. Our prison population here for young Black males is more than double the national average. Folks, I just want you to sit with that for just a minute. And then we could talk about Dante Harris, right? And then we could talk about Dante Harris's friends. We could talk about how Dante Harris got, you know, life with the possibility of parole while Amber Geiger got 10 years. And Dante Harris's friends got 30 years and Amber Geiger got 10 years. I'm just saying, here in Maryland, the Black prison population is more than double the national average of 32%. More than 70% of Maryland's prison population was Black in 2018. I just want you to take a moment and breathe with this for a moment. Okay, listen to this, folks. 70% of our prison population was Black. Do you know what the percentages of Black people in the state of Maryland? Well, 70% of the prison population is Black. So what's the percentage of Black folks in Maryland? Well, it's got to be 70%. It's got to be 80%. Come on, I mean, it's got to be at least 50%. No, folks. Black folks make up 31% of the population in Maryland. 31% of the people in Maryland are Black. In prison, 70% of the people in prison are Black. So when you're saying, where are our Black sons and where are our Black nephews and where are our Black brothers and where are our Black fathers and where are our Black uncles and where are our Black grandfathers? Where are our Black cousins? Where are they? In prison in the state of Maryland. You should be pulling over right now to give me a call, because I don't understand how you can go forward with this information, because this is a problem. Our rate here in Maryland, we surpass, and this is the one that got me, because y'all know, I grew up in D.C., but I'm a South Carolinian, born and raised, right? I'm from the place where they would be flying the Confederate flags on my block, right? I'm at the place where my grandmother said, don't play with the white folks down the street because we don't know what their real agenda is. So anytime that Maryland beats South Carolina, I got a problem with that. We have more Blacks in prison than Mississippi, South Carolina, and Georgia. Think about that, folks. Maryland, right here on the Mason-Dixon line, a place that had both free Blacks and enslaved Blacks. We got more Black folks in prison than South Carolina, Confederate slave state South Carolina, first one to secede from the Union, than Mississippi, where Black folks, their reading levels are below 70%. Then Georgia, where Black folks outside of Atlanta are fighting to survive, and we got more Black folks in prison right here in Maryland. We have Michael on the phone from Reisterstown. Michael, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K, how you feeling?
Oh, you know, I'm struggling here, but I'm at 70%, I told Justina.
matter of fact, you just brought up a topic I wanted to talk about. My wife and I at breakfast was talking about the state of African-American sons. And we said, this morning at the table, we were thinking, when we was congratulating each other that with our sons, if we was not a strong reinforcement with them while they was in high school and trying to go to college, the system would have had ate them up and stole their dreams.
Oh, yes.
From them. And I thought about how you are proud of your sons. And I said, these young men have to know that their parents really love them. Because I remember when my youngest son, who's graduated from college.
Congratulations.
When he participated in the spelling bee when he was in the sixth grade, he was going against seventh graders and eighth graders, and he was beating out all of them. But at the last part of the contest, me and my wife couldn't come, so we told my mom to go. She's a retired educator, and they did not know my mom was there. And they tried, my mom came home and said, they tried to steal a contest from him and give it to a little girl, but my mom said she stood up to let them know that she was with him. So he won that contest. So when he was about to graduate, they told my wife and I, do not put Polly down on his papers to go to Polly because he can't go. So we said, why he can't go? He has the good grades. So we put him down anyway. So he went to Polly.
Now, you know, Mike, I'm going to have you hold on. We got a heartbreak here. Hold on, Michael. We'll come right back to you. Jay, Daphne, Troy, Susie, Marvin, I'm coming to you right after the break. Keep it here. It's Today with Dr. Hay. I'm Dr. KY's Whitehead.
And a good afternoon. Light Rail Link service remains suspended now through Sunday, November the 10th. That is because of Department of Public Works related construction repairs in the downtown Central Business District. Shuttle buses are in place between North Avenue and Camden Station with the Light Rail Link running about 15 to 20 minutes late in both directions. No delays on the Metro Subway Link. One train on the Penn Line late, that's 426, about 10 minutes late heading into Penn Station. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.